Hey everyone, and welcome back.
It's great to be back.
Today we're taking a trip back to the beginning of 2024. You know, those early days when the AI explosion was really taking off.
Yay.
And we're revisiting some predictions that Tom Davenport, you know, the Tom Davenport and Randy Bean made for the year. With a little help from some AI analysis, of course. We're going to see how those predictions have actually panned out.
It's the perfect time to do it, right? I mean, it's almost 2025. Time to look back and see what landed.
Yeah.
You share Tom Davenport and Randy Bean's MIT Sloan Review article. Uh-huh. And, you know, those two always seem to have their fingers on the pulse.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see just how accurate their crystal ball was back then.
Exactly. So January 2024, everyone and their grandmother was talking about AI. But Tom Davenport and Randy Bean, they were already thinking ahead. They laid out five predictions in that article. And as I'm going through them, let me know what stands out to you, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, so the first one was, generative AI sparkles, but will it deliver?
Mm.
That really kind of, you know, sets the stage. Number two, data science goes from artisanal to industrial.
Ooh, I like that one.
Yeah. Number three, data products bifurcate.
Mm.
We'll definitely unpack that one, I think. And then, this is my favorite. Data scientists become less sexy.
Tom Davenport.
I know, right? And then finally, the rise of the super tech leader.
Ah.
So, you know, reading through these predictions, it's really fascinating to see how Tom Davenport and Randy Bean capture that tension.
Mm.
You know, that, wow, AI is amazing. But also, like, how do we actually use it? Tension.
Totally. Yeah.
And it really feels like they sensed this shift that was happening from just, you know, playing around with AI to really demanding tangible results.
Mm-hmm.
And that really comes through in a lot of their predictions,
mm-hmm.
this idea that we need to move from the hype to real tangible value.
Yeah. And that's a big thing we see, like you said, throughout the predictions. It's this need to move from hype to tangible value.
Exactly. All right. So we've got Tom Davenport and Randy Bean's predictions laid out, you know, ready to go. Now let's fast forward to, you know, today, late 2024, and see how those predictions are actually, you know, playing out in the real world.
Yeah.
And the really fun part is we're not just, you know, relying on our own analysis here.
Yeah.
We've actually tapped into the wisdom of some cutting edge AIs like Perplexity AI and Google Gemini.
Yeah.
To give us their assessments of how well Tom Davenport and Randy Bean did.
It's like AI grading AI homework.
I know, right? It's pretty meta.
I love it.
So prediction number one, that generative AI, you know, would it move beyond the sparkle? Would it actually deliver real business value? So what's the verdict?
Well, you know, it seems like maybe Tom Davenport was a touch too skeptical on this one.
Okay.
Because remember, they pointed out that only a really small percentage of companies had actually implemented generative AI in production at the beginning of the year. It looks like that's changed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So companies weren't just seduced by the, you know, the flashy, shiny new toy.
Mm.
They really saw the substance there.
Yeah, they saw the potential.
So what kind of impact are we talking about? Like, where did generative AI actually make its mark?
Well, the AI assessments highlight some pretty interesting wins, mm-hmm. particularly in, you know, content creation.
Of course.
Yeah. Which isn't a huge surprise. I mean, think marketing copy, social media posts, even scripts, right?
Right.
It seems like, you know, everyone's trying to get in on that action.
Yeah.
But what's really interesting, what I find really interesting anyway, is that we're seeing some traction in areas like customer service and product development.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's not just about, you know, replacing human creativity. It's really about augmenting it, you know, and finding those tasks where AI can really excel.
Okay. So on to prediction number two, which was this idea that data science would shift from artisanal to industrial, to use their words.
Yeah.
So did all the data scientists trade in their craft coffee for assembly line efficiency this year?
Well, I don't know about the coffee. But the AI assessments do seem to back up Tom Davenport and Randy Bean on this one.
Okay.
We are seeing a pretty clear shift towards standardized platforms and tools that really streamline, like, the whole data science process.
Uh-huh.
Things like, you know what MLOps is?
MLOps, yeah, break that down for me.
So MLOps stands for machine learning operations.
Okay.
And you can kind of think of it like this. So it's taking that really artisanal process of building AI models, you know, the really handcrafted, one-of-a-kind approach, and it's kind of turning it into a well-oiled factory line.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's about bringing speed, efficiency, and consistency to the data science world.
So it sounds like it's less about the individual data scientist being the hero and more about building systems that are repeatable.
Yeah.
And, you know, scalable.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about making data science more, you know, impactful and scalable across whole organizations. Mm-hmm. And this whole move towards, you know, industrialization, it's not just about the tools, even though that's a big part of it. But it also reflects a much deeper change in how companies are thinking about data science as a whole.
Yeah.
Right? It's less about these one-off projects, and it's more about actually integrating it into the core of how they operate.
Interesting. So prediction number three was, you know, this idea that data products would sort of go in these two distinct directions. Some would be for, you know, internal use only. Others would be, you know, packaged up and sold commercially. So did we see that split happen?
It's really interesting because, well, according to the AI assessments anyway, both approaches seem to be doing really well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So some companies are seeing huge benefits from building these really customized data products, you know, tailored for their own specific needs, even if they, you know, they never actually plan to share those with anyone outside the company.
Right, right.
But then on the other hand, you've got this whole other group of companies that are, you know, they're doing really well at packaging up their data-driven insights and actually selling them as, you know, as standalone products.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. Companies are choosing different paths based on their goals and what their data looks like.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So now let's talk about that prediction that always gets people talking, right? This idea that data scientists would become, and I'm just going to quote them here, less sexy.
Right.
So was old Tom right? Did the allure of the data scientist, did it really fade this year?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. The whole sexy label was, it was always a bit superficial, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think the real question here is how has the role of the data scientist actually evolved over the past year?
Right.
And the AI assessments, they seem to point to like a really fascinating evolution, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's not like data scientists are, you know, irrelevant or anything. Yeah. If anything, the demand for data science skills is, you know, it's higher than ever.
Yeah.
But what we are seeing is, I guess you'd call this a specialization of roles within the field. So now you have your data engineers, you have your machine learning engineers, you have your data storytellers, and each one has their own, you know, their own area of expertise.
So it's less about being that data science unicorn who can do it all.
Yeah.
And more about having that really deep expertise in one specific niche.
Exactly. Exactly. And of course, you know, we can't forget about the rise of citizen data scientists and all those increasingly powerful AI tools that are really making data analysis more accessible to just about everyone.
Right. So data literacy is becoming a must-have no matter what your role is in an organization.
Totally.
Okay, last but definitely not least, we have the prediction that I was personally most interested in, which is this rise of the quote super tech leader.
Mm-hmm.
So, did we actually see this new kind of, you know, tech leader emerge in 2024?
It really seems like Tom Davenport and Randy Bean were onto something with this one.
Yeah.
Because the AI assessments, I mean, they definitely confirm that companies are looking for these leaders who can, you know, they can bridge that gap between the data and the AI and then, you know, the business strategy. They need someone who can, you know, wrangle all that complex technology,
right,
and then translate it into, you know, actual business value.
So super tech leader, it's more than just a cool title.
Right.
It really reflects how essential technology is to, you know, pretty much every single part of a business now.
I think so, yeah.
This has been a really interesting deep dive. It's kind of wild how much the AI landscape has shifted even in just, you know, the span of a single year.
It really is, yeah.
It really just highlights how crucial it is to stay curious and to never stop learning, really.
Yeah, sure.
You know, Tom Davenport and Randy Bean's predictions, they remind us that really the only constant in the world of AI is change. So as these technologies keep, you know, evolving, it's really up to all of us to keep asking questions, to challenge those assumptions,
mm-hmm.
and to, you know, to really keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
Absolutely.
And on that note, you know, Tom Davenport and Randy Bean, they were really focused on how existing leadership roles are changing. But what if the truly transformative leadership roles of the future,
yeah,
what if they haven't even emerged yet?
Yeah.
You know, what new skills, what new perspectives are we going to really guide these organizations through this next wave of AI disruption? That's something for all of us to think about. Until next time, keep exploring.